sometimes we get into it where it's like we're pushing for the cold open, and it should happen organically.
Naturally.
Yeah, I can't believe I said organically. I hate that word. I hate that phrase.
Are we yogurt?
Is that the worst? What is the worst phrase? What is the worst? We blame everything on the millennials. So what is the worst millennial phrase? Is it organic?
Possibly.
Or is it YOLO?
That's bad too.
YOLO or FOMO? What's worse, YOLO or FOMO?
Ooh, I've heard adults use FOMO, like my age.
What do you mean? Really? In real life?
Yeah, yeah, like for real, yeah.
And after you smack him in the mouth, what happens? were you scared of missing out on that? Is that what your fear was?
Yeah.
What's the acronym for fear of me punching you in the yap? Hello and welcome to episode 445 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tubingen, Germany. With me, as always, is
Adam, Vancouver, British Columbia.
Fivecouver.
The Five.
Fivecouver's not going to work.
No, it's got to just be the Five.
Van Fiver.
No.
These are all cutting room floor, we'll call these.
Yeah.
Okay. The Five. That's it. We were beaten at the death with no shirts available yet for sale. The Sank. Did we already go with the Sank?
Yeah, I think you brought it up. It was
tried that one. That's not going to fly.
No.
The Funf. Not going to fly. All right. What's going on, Adam? In the Five.
It's just another day in paradise, man. Now it looks like it's going to be a little cloudy, a little sunshine, about 22 degrees. That's what we've got going on today. And baseball on the agenda.
Baseball on the agenda. That's good times. We had golf ball size hail last night.
Ooh, that's not good.
No. No, it's not good. I was worried the windows were going to break of my house.
Yikes. What about your car? Do you have a garage?
Carport.
Okay, so it was safe.
Well, a couple years ago, some hail blew through here, through this region, where it was larger than golf ball size. It was massive. And we were on vacation in France, so we were not here for it. However, it did some damage, and it actually did completely total our car. Like, it just caved in. We had golf ball size dents all over our entire car, because it was parked outside, obviously. At the and the insurance company just said, "Hey, we're not fixing that. Here's some money. We'll just buy it from you, and you keep driving it. But here's the money you lost in cash. Go."
Right.
And everybody got there. The big thing here. This is an aside. Is Rollladen, the rolling blinds, but the blinds here are outside. Have you ever seen those?
No.
Like, you seal up your house like you live on Tatooine, for crying out loud. I don't know why they do it, but they're big fans of it. These roll down blinds that are essentially outside your house.
Okay.
And so they were all down. Well, most people had them down when the hail hit, and it just basically exploded them all. And so everybody had to get them replaced. There's only X number of people who can replace them, and the whole city was damaged. And so it was like a 2-year waiting list to get your blinds fixed. Right.
Right.
Yeah, so ours were damaged at the other place. It was a rental. We moved on with our lives. We didn't care. But here I made sure. I was actually worried, like, what do we do? Do we put the blinds down or risk blasting those? Or do we roll the dice with shattering the glass? What do you do? What do you do, Adam?
I don't know.
You bore all the listeners with the details, is what you do.
Yeah, I stopped listening.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'm still talking. The
No, you are.
Bottom line,
I can assure you.
Yeah, we didn't, no real damage as far as I can tell. Mosquito netting got crushed, but we can fix that.
Okay, we can all rest easy though.
Yeah, we have mosquito net insurance, so it's pretty good here.
Okay.
Yeah, so anyway, just saying, last week 40 degrees, this week 11 degrees. Awesome. Hey, thanks, summer.
Yes.
No. Well, so what else is going on? You guys, just is it just baseball, like wall to wall every day?
Yep. Four games in the last 5 days. We have a game today. We have games tomorrow. Oh, just to bring it back to photography in terms of what's going on. Let me just give a photography tie-in. Last night got tasked with the request to put together a team photo. But of course, so this is for provincials. Like you have, every team has to have a team photo for provincials. But of course, just so happens that the photo needs to be ready 2 days from now or 3 days from now, I think. And of course, one of our kids is away. He will be back. But when he's back, there's two more kids that will be missing. So they said, we want to get everybody. So can you take the photo? Which I said, of course, after the game. We had a 6 o'clock game in the evening last night. So I thought, perfect, you know, I'll be over just before eight. Light will be good at that point. Maybe catch blue hour or just the last bit of when there's sun. Either way, I'll be shooting at a good time of day. So I said, I'll do that. And then they said, oh, we really need to have that last player in it. He's not back till Tuesday. We need the photo Tuesday night. I'm like, okay. So we'll shoot a team photo, which we did, minus the one player, left a space for him, tried to make it, you know, like I made a front row, like we have 12 kids on the team. So I put six kids in the front, five in the second row. And then the coaches, there's four of us in the back. And I sort of left a space between myself, who's a coach on the end, and then a kid who's, you know, kneeling in the front row. And then I thought that'll be the easiest spot to patch him in.
Hold on, hold on. Did you have a tripod?
I did. I had a tripod.
Okay, carry on.
Yeah, so I set up the tripod and then just had my wife click the shutter rather than put a timer on. I just had her click the shutter. At first, I wasn't sure about lighting that night, so I did bring a couple of flashes and a couple of umbrellas just, you know, if I needed to even things out. As it turned out, the game went long enough that it sort of got to that point where we could pose on the diamond with basically just, you know, no direct sun. So it's almost like we're just in that blue hour time, which I thought, well, perfect, because I could probably do a pretty good job matching this when I have to shoot the last kid. I can just put him in shade anywhere and then cut him out, right? Like, that's what I was thinking. Because I'm probably not going to get the same time of day to shoot his photo. It's going to be a couple hours earlier and obviously at a different ballpark. So I can just shoot him in front of something green like trees or something. And then pretty easily, I'm hoping pretty easily, maybe you have some tips for me here, cut him out and then just place him in where I don't have to show his full body. I can just show kind of from his waist up and try to make it look as similar to the other shots or to the other shot as I can.
So you have shot this or you haven't?
I have. I already shot team. Oh no. Why? Oh no.
I wish you'd have mentioned something
I didn't know until about an hour before game time. And then I grabbed my stuff and brought it to the field.
So from experience, here's what I would do. First of all, do they have the numbers on the front of their jerseys?
Yes. Yes.
I hate that. Well, okay. Now it changes things slightly, but you could Photoshop that as well.
I have to do this quickly though. This is going to be a quick turnaround. Yeah.
But see, here's what I would have done, because you have a tripod. What I would have done is had basically everybody set up and I would leave room for that kid.
Which is what we did. Yeah.
Which is what you did. However, I would shoot that. And then, so let's say you have him on the left side, camera left side, you left a space for him. I would
camera
shoot
right.
The shot.
I left him camera right.
Okay, you left him camera right. I would leave that spot camera right, and then you'd snap one, tell everybody stay where you are, get one of the kids from camera left to go and sit in that spot. And then you snap it again. And now all you have to do is Photoshop that kid's face on, because I don't really care that it's not the same body. Tough crap, he should have been there.
Oh, that would have been a good idea.
I learned that the hard way myself. I've had to do that. And so the first time through, I was like, oh, I should have done that. Next time I shall do that, which is what I did.
Yeah, I'm glad that I have this information not in time for making it usable. But I mean, I'm hoping if I just kind of put the tripod at the same height, which I left it. I left it after the shot at the same height, so I didn't adjust it.
Smart.
So that was the one thing I did do right. And then I'm also thinking, this is really, like, you know, not an important photo in a sense that this isn't going to be their, year-end team photo or anything. This is really just to go in a program for provincials. We just needed this photo, and unfortunately, you know, we found out about it way too late, and I could have easily done this a week ago, but as it turns out, it just needs something for the program, and they really wanted to make sure all 12 kids were in it. So
yep.
I might make it comically bad in terms of that last kid being in there too.
And it just mustache.
Might be a little bit of an in joke, but either way, I will get him in there. I'm not gonna sweat it, but I appreciate your feedback, because I think that's good advice for anyone else trying to do this.
When it comes to time to shoot the actual keeper photo, which you should do, have fun with it. I would say if I were you, I would have everybody meet down at the Fisherman's Needle at Gary Point.
Ooh, I like that.
Just have it be Richmond. Like one of the things that I want to do here in Tübingen is shoot. We can never get half the team together, let alone the whole team. And so I'm not photoshopping like 9 guys' faces, but I want to do our team photo like right in the marketplace of the old town, the Marktplatz von der Altstadt. Like that looks really, the cobblestone streets, the half timber buildings. Like it screams Germany, but you know, it's baseball. So like it's kind of a juxtaposition. You don't expect a baseball photo there. So same thing in Steveston. Like you don't, I mean, maybe every kid is from Steveston, but what are you, you're not going to go to Richmond Center Mall. Let's go sit in front of the food fair.
No, but what if, I mean, again, here's the conundrum. I like that idea very much. I'm not sure I'm going to, or our team is going to have the time to just basically, instead of a practice, just meet down at Gary Point for this. Like we're just so short on practice time that, I mean, the best I'm going to do is
year-end barbecue.
Yeah, something, and then maybe we'll be able to do it something at the cage, but I'm planning on shooting kind of a green screen. We have 12 kids, so four groups of three, and then maybe use a Steveston needle shot as our background to that, you know, cool team photo. What are your feelings there?
That's too much work.
But I'm
for
just,
me,
but that's less work. I mean, in terms of getting it together would be the problem. I just don't see
it. You know
it
what it happen. Is? It's the old series of Canucks photos where they did like the Wild West and the courtroom thing and all that stuff.
Oh yeah. I feel you. I understand, and if you look back on those,
those photos, technically speaking, not great.
We have one. We have the big steel. Yeah.
I used to have a bunch myself. I had the smaller ones. I didn't have the big. I think you have the big giant one, don't you?
Yeah, we have a big one. Yeah.
And what's the big steel? What's that one? That's all
like they're all
mob. Right?
Yeah, they're gangsters, and they stole the Stanley Cup. Is more
it's
or less
fine.
The yeah,
but yeah, they never did. They never did steal the Stanley Cup, though, did they? No. Not a one time.
No.
Yeah. You know who did? Anaheim did.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay did.
Yeah, a lot of other teams.
Las Vegas Knights almost did in their first.
St. Louis did this year.
Yeah, they've been around for a while though.
But they stole it.
I'm okay with them getting it though, because they've been around. It's when you've been around since 1970, you have zero cups, and then the Golden Knights wander in and go, "Oh, hey, we'll play for the cup."
Yeah. This is where the podcast really takes a Canadian turn.
Yeah, it sure does, eh?
Yeah.
So if you go back and look at that photo, just look at it. It's fine. Like I couldn't have done that then, or even with that technology. You got to post the photo now, right?
You know,
I don't know. It's hard to find. I have looked for it online before. It's actually surprisingly hard to find online.
Okay, the big steel I think can be found.
No, you're gonna have to, even if you shoot it with your phone and put it up. We'll have to put it up.
I don't even know if you still have it, but I'll look for it. But either way, I will find a picture of it.
It's, yeah, you say that. I have looked in the past. It's actually surprisingly hard. I think you might be able to dig up a lousy one that someone sketched on a napkin, but it's hard to find for some reason.
But I know the name of it, the big steal, Vancouver Canucks photo, that helps.
Yeah, I forget the courtroom one and the Wild West one and all those like they did like 4 in a row or something like that. They were kind of cool. I love the theme. And so I kind of wanted to do something similar. It was more so in our baseball uniforms in a different setting, and that's sort of what I would suggest. I think you guys could all meet down there, have ice cream one night, make it a night, play some wiffle ball down at Gary Point. That'd be fun.
Everyone bring their fishing rods,
but have a little bullhead derby real quick.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the rocks in Gary Point, where you know a lot of the old dudes fish. That would be a spot
with
fishing.
They don't really fish.
They do. They fish there.
I think they just don't want to be caught drinking in public.
Maybe there's that. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fishing rods.
A lot of bullheads, though, man.
Yeah.
Like, those are those little sort of, what are those? Nothing. I don't know. You can't
eat sport. Them. It's sport.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not fishing there.
Oh, another photography related piece from last night.
Finally.
I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but the top of my camera dial.
Uh-huh.
You know, that little plastic piece that just basically, not the dial part that turns, but the little plastic piece that fits in there that tells you, you know, which mode you're in, auto, P mode, whatever, uh-huh. AV mode. Yeah, it's somewhere in my photo taking adventures last night popped off into the grass and I did not find it.
Oh, wait, whoa, hang on. On which camera?
On the 6D.
Okay. And so, does the 6D have a center button that you press to
turn yeah, it, or all of that's there. Everything's good. It all works fine. I don't know what mode I'm in.
Oh.
So it's a little piece of plastic and it like clips in somehow. And it must have just popped off. I didn't even know that was a thing. I thought that was one solid piece, but it's not.
I think I still have mine from my 5D Mark II that I dismantled.
Oh, wow. Sell for parts.
Yeah. Yeah, but no, you can just have it. But the only thing is the 5D Mark II does not have the little center button to push to turn it.
Oh, like
it
just, so it probably just, wouldn't be a fit, yeah.
Well, you need at the very least, you need a Dremel tool.
Yeah. I'm wondering, too. I mean, I haven't even looked because this just happened last night, whether or not, like, I can just... It's a piece of plastic. I could probably just buy one on Amazon. I'm sure someone's knocked it off or whatever. But or I will check. It's just one of those weird things where I'm like... Really? They put that as a separate piece? Like, that's bizarre. Yeah.
I have a bag full of, you can hear it. This is my, that's my 5D.
Sound effects. You're the sound effects guy.
Yeah, I'm just going to Foley this episode. So in here somewhere is probably that piece. So I'll tell you what, you can
mail
have it.
Mail it to me. Yeah, just mail it
no,
to me.
No, you can have
it
in September.
Costs $48 to get it here.
Yeah, you can have it for free in September. The guy on our team, he'll be done then, beginning of September, he heads back home. He lives literally down the street from you.
Okay.
So I'm gonna send that home with him. It'll get lost in customs, I'm sure.
Sure, yeah. Yeah. And so, again, I could probably buy one for $3.
That is a worse story than what we're just laying out right now.
What? But the sound effects were awesome.
Sound effect? No, that was legit. That wasn't a sound effect. That was actual.
But that's what I mean. Time. It was so good. It was that was the great part of the episode so far.
Yeah, like you know how when they're walking through snow, what they're really doing is actually squeezing like a detergent box. That's for real. That's actually most times like if you get up a laundry detergent box, that's open and you squeeze it, it makes this kind of weird sound. That's generally what you're hearing when people are walking through snow.
And when people are walking on creaky floorboards, they're hearing the sound effect you just made.
Yeah, you're hearing some guy rattling an old camera in a Ziploc bag. That's how Foley work. Foley work is actually awesome. It's one of my favorite things in movie making. I do a lot of it myself. Like, I
just don't wait a sec. Wait a second. This is a short episode, right?
Not anymore. Oh boy, we haven't even got into it yet.
No, this is the topic. Foley. This is the topic.
I tell you what, I've been drinking cough syrup most of the day.
Okay.
So I'm pretty out of it right now. All right, so let's get back. Come on, forget it. Let's get on to photo stuff then. Reminder, our monthly challenge for this month is golden. That's for the July. I want to get the month right. July monthly. I haven't been drinking cough syrup, despite what I just told you. Okay. My monthly challenge is golden. Hashtag that two hosers monthly challenge or hashtag hey hosers on Instagram. In fact, go ahead and tag us. Tag at two hosers if you know how to do that, which took me about half a year to figure out how to do.
I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, I don't expect you to. Don't worry. I'll find your. You'll just send your photo to me via Telegram and I'll get it. And then anyway, hashtag that. Tag us. On Instagram, and we'll check that out in the beginning of August. August 8th, I think we established.
Okay. 9th.
I don't know. Check the schedule, man. All right, did you shoot anything interesting this week?
No, I didn't.
Was it one of those weeks?
Well, just too much baseball and nobody wants to hear about it. So
I want to hear about it offline, but
yeah, we don't need to talk about it for here, but just video. That's all I've been doing.
Tell me about the video stuff. Cause you sent me, so we had a little exchange starting last night where you said, "Hey man, I'm putting together a video for the team."
Yeah.
Do you want to check it out? And my answer was no.
And that's kind of
done.
Yeah.
No. I do enjoy this. I like video editing, and I'm always happy to pass on all like you know any tips and stuff that people have showed me.
It's like when you ask me about your knee or something. Like you know, I'm gonna do it, but I don't want to do it.
No, of course you don't. You're not dying to. And it's like, you know, hey Adam, should I have two ribs removed? And you're like, why? And I'm like, forget it. Let's move on.
Right.
And so I'm always happy to discuss video editing, even if it's for something like this, where it's not even like a major motion picture or something like that. But there's a lot of techniques that are involved, and so you've been shooting a lot of your son's baseball season on your new video camera, and now you're putting together. Just for like the year-end party? Is that your plan?
Yeah, or maybe like when we go to provincials, there's a big provincial tournament. That's going to be our year-end. We're all going to stay at a hotel and we're all going to be together. And so I'm thinking, you know, it's a great pump up for that. So when we're back at the hotel, you know, get a conference room. I'm going to bring, my projector. I'm going to bring my projector and then show the whole team and all the parents as kind of a fun group gathering, because we'll, I'm sure, have several group gatherings on that provincial tournament, which is only coming up in a couple weeks. So I thought I'm going to shoot as much video
where
as
is
I
it,
can.
Where are the provincials?
They're on Vancouver Island in Nanaimo.
Oh, Nanaimo. Home of the coal miners.
There you go. So
yeah.
Their baseball team is the Pirates, like their right. Yeah, their kids team. So just thought that would be a good target. I'll shoot as much video as I can, put together, you know, the best plays, like the best defensive plays, you know, all the home runs, everything that I capture, and then kind of wrap it all up into something under 10 minutes, probably, you know, I'm aiming for about seven minutes of video and maybe, you know, four minutes of a slideshow and sort of get it 10-12 minutes of a video that everybody will hopefully enjoy.
The instinct a lot of people have is, oh, you know, some is good, more is better, but ultimately I would much rather have people say, hey, play that again, than hey, that was good.
Yeah, I agree with you. And the funny thing about it is, I mean, well, I don't know if it's funny, but the crux of it is that what I sent you yesterday was probably 11 minutes long.
Yes.
And, you know, with your feedback, I took a little bit out in terms of clips, shortened other clips as well. But now it's just over 7 minutes and I thought it was pretty good when I sent to you. It is 1,000 times better what I've got currently.
Yeah. That's generally how I work though, myself too. I mean, it's not, there's different kind of techniques when it comes to editing. There's some people talk about additive editing, like, okay, go and find clips that you want and add them into the timeline. That's how you do it. And then there's subtractive editing where you just lay everything in and then start cutting out, get rid of this, get rid of this, get rid of this. And that can be kind of negative. So I kind of do something in between where I go through and pick out all the clips I know I'm going to like and sort of build something. And I build something out that's going to be like in the instance of what you had sent, I probably would have, my first cut probably would have been 20 minutes and that would have been reasonable. And that would have been cut down from like, hey, let's say I shot 12 hours of stuff. I'll go through, pick out 20 minutes, lay that in there and then just start refining. And I go through over and over and it's ridiculous because you're shooting, like I shoot at 24 frames a second. You're shooting your stuff at the 59.94. That's 60, right. 60 frames a second.
Right,
which is only relevant when it comes to time to doing the fine cut. Like, so at 24 frames a second, I'll go through and do a pass, and I'll take that 20 minutes, and I'll get it down to 16. And I'll go through again, and I'll get it down to 14. And slowly, 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 I'll start going, and then it gets to the point where I'm taking out little clips, where I'm taking out four frames from a clip. Just four little frames.
Right.
Which is 1/6 of a second.
And that's what I'm doing. I'm doing that like over and over again now. Yeah.
You think it would be mind-numbing, and it can be mind-numbing, but that's kind of how it goes. And it's like, well, what possible difference could a sixth of a second make? But over 100 shots, all of a sudden, you do the math, that adds up. And then you go through and do it again and do it again, and all of a sudden, this video is smoking along, and you think, wow, I didn't need like 18 minutes of that or 14 minutes. Like I this works just fine without it.
Yeah, agreed. And there's something to be said. I mean, I think I drive my wife crazy and my kids crazy when they're like, why are you still looking that? Why are you still playing with that? Kind of a good enough attitude. And I don't even know what you want to call it, but a little bit neurotic when it comes to the details. Like I'm
sure
extremely detail oriented just in life, and sometimes to a fault, right? Like sometimes it can be too much, but I actually enjoy it. Like I enjoy going over it, and I don't like every time I see it, even though I've seen it probably 100 times the video, I enjoy it. Like there's an emotional connection to it that I think, you know, when it's your kind of artwork or when it's your project that, I mean, I'm obviously more connected to it than anyone else, but I really truly enjoy going over it. And the editing process is a little bit addictive. So there is something to be said for that. And I think from someone who hasn't done it or who doesn't do this sort of thing, they might not understand it, but I think for you, obviously, you know, doing a ton of video editing work, and for me, just kind of scratching the surface, there's something that's very addictive about it. And then the true high is, you know, seeing someone else watch it, right? Like, so when someone else watches it, like there's a rush there for their enjoyment for seeing it for the first time. So I get it on a very small scale as to what, you know, people who actually make movies or documentaries or whatever, you know, feel when they sit in a room screening a movie in front of strangers. Like it's definitely like there's some people who want to be on stage performing, and then there's a totally separate, I think, rush or enjoyment from putting it together and then just getting the enjoyment from others enjoying what you've put together.
Yes, that I've heard. I'm the guy who I like to put it together and then not be there when it plays.
Oh, really?
I hate it. Yeah.
Oh,
I
like being, wow.
I tend to leave the room.
Wow. Yes. And on that
I
one.
I know. In a different direction.
Holy.
Yeah. It's great. But no, it's, I'm like,
Well, I don't need, here's the thing. I don't need anybody afterwards. Like I think people feel compelled to afterwards come up and say, oh, you know, I love that. And like, I don't need any of that. Like I think emotionally, I'm pretty closed off from the world. Like I could probably, my kids would probably say like, you know, they may have seen me cry once in my life, and I'm not saying that's a good thing. That's just personality wise. Like I don't get emotional when you talk about, when your kids are born and getting misty and tear. Like again, as much as I love my kids, I don't get misty that way. But when I'm watching a video for whatever reason, and not typical movies, but something that again is close to me from a video, maybe a little bit, without really thinking about it, like I get misty. And so it's funny that, you know, what, you know, sparks emotion in different people, but almost in a few different parts of just watching video of kids playing baseball and just how excited they are about doing something great. And some kids that, you know, that don't do it all the time, but when they do it and the way the other kids kind of come to them and support them and cheer for them, like that gets me emotional. So there's something to be said for that as well.
Well, there's only, I only know one kid in the video you sent, and that's your son. But I really did feel an emotional connection too, where I was excited. I watched the third version you sent over this morning. And my kids came in and they were asking, hey, oh, is that Jack? Is that Jack? And I was like, no. And they finally got the Jack, and that was him. And my son has this exact same hat as him. And hey, how old's Jack? How old's Jack? And I said, he's 10, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so he's 10. And one day I want to be as good as Jack. And I was like, no, you'll be way better. Don't worry about it.
But, yeah, exactly.
No. I said, that's great. Of course you want to be as good as Jack. That's great. I'm glad to hear that. And But I'm watching it, and there is emotion in this, and so this is going to kill with the parents, of course.
Oh, like, absolutely.
You have a it's almost unfair. Like the first version you sent me would have killed with the parents, like and which was fine. It was totally fine. But you said what it was, 12 minutes long. It was too long. This version is going to knock it out of the park. Pun intended, I guess.
Yeah.
But there definitely is emotion there, and that's why when you want to go and cut and edit and. How fair is it that we are talking about a video that you're never going
to
post?
No, I'm going to try to. I'm really after the provincials. I'm going to again. Hopefully, just the 7 minutes is what I'm aiming for. I'm going to ask for permission from everyone. I'm pretty sure with this team, everyone's going to give me permission to post it. So I'll have to ask it in a forum where everyone's present, and then I'm going to ask if it's okay if I post it for my podcast. Most people know that I do a podcast, so I'm 75 to 80% confident that I'm going to be able to post this for the world.
Yeah. Okay. Good. That's
not that not that our listeners necessarily want to watch 7 minutes of kids baseball, but even if they watch 2 minutes and just kind of get the gist of what we're talking about, and just kind of if anyone wants to do this for their own kids sports team or whatever, it's there is a connection to be made even if you don't know the kids on the video.
Yeah, even if you don't care for it, two minutes of kids of this will be great. If you're dying for like 90 minutes of this, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
But ultimately, in the end, what I think this will do, which is why I prefer anybody who wants to shoot video ever, just shoot. Like, there's some guys who just shoot, right?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a great idea. I think you want to shoot and edit, because even if you're not great at editing, it will make you a much better shooter. Because I think, like, looking at some of the shots that you shot of like the pregame speech and stuff like that, which you can tighten up, but it's difficult to do if you don't have the coverage. Meaning, you want to go in and shoot a bunch of close-ups of individual kids, and that kind of heightens the tension, but. When you go to cut it, if you go to cut it and you're like, man, I just can't cut this. I got nothing to cut to. Next time you go shoot, you remember, oh, I better grab like four shots of this, and that way I can cut it together much, much easier.
Yeah, and again, I kind of have the feeling like as I go is, oh, I want a shot of this, or I want a shot of that. Like, you sort of said, build it like a story, and you start with kind of like, field prep, and then the coach speech, and then the warm up, and gameplay and all that. And so yesterday when I was out, I grabbed a shot of just like, they have, the paint cans that go in the little machine that kind of does the lining on the field. So I grabbed a 3 second clip of them kind of starting the line in the field. And I thought, okay, great. And now I can, if I do 10 seconds worth of maybe 3 shots of field prep, and I'm looking for different things that kind of go along with field prep, then I think that leads in. And it's sort of, again, it's little things that if I try to put this together all at the end, I'm going to realize I might be missing 7 or 8 things that I want. Whereas if I edit each game's worth photo and start building it that way, then I give myself enough time. And I'm sure this is what they do in movie making all the time, is figure out
now,
I would like a shot of this, establishing shot of where we are here, and a wide shot, a close shot, all these things. So I'm figuring that as I go. And video is a totally different way of looking at things. I mean, there's a lot of photography carryover and a lot of the same skill set, but there's enough different that I am learning quickly on the job.
Yes. Oh, it's the best time for it, like shooting video. Cause back in the day, like, you'd shoot a motion picture, you'd be out there for 3 months. You might see, you would see dailies, meaning 2 days or a day or 2 days after, you'd see what's called the rushes. They'd rush them over, and you'd see what you shot 2 days prior just to see if you were getting what you wanted, but it wasn't cut together yet. Now with digital, you can shoot and you can have someone piece it together right away. But back in the day, and the big pioneer on this, and this will be the last thing we talk about, we'll move on to photo stuff. The big pioneer is a guy who's, I've never actually seen one of his movies, if you can believe it, is Woody Allen. I've never seen a Woody Allen movie in my life.
Okay.
Which is not 100% true. I think I saw one accidentally. I didn't know it was a Woody Allen movie. But never knowingly seen a Woody Allen movie, and never seen one of his most famous ones. When you have to be a certain age when to come along, and that's when you discover quote-unquote discover it. He's thrown in front of you, but you discover it, much like Columbus with America. There's already people here, but you reach a certain age, and then you get into Woody Allen. When I hit that age was right when he decided marrying his stepdaughter was a great idea.
Right, okay.
And so it was like, okay, well, I'm already tainted. So everyone who came before me had the untainted Woody Allen, like non-creepy Woody Allen, so you could appreciate the genius, but it came along right at the time where I was like, well, all I know is this guy now, so I can't watch his movies, which I've heard his movies, like his movies are regarded as amazing and classics, etc. But what he would do, what he does when he shoots would be like, I'll get the timeline wrong, but rather than just go and shoot for 2 months and get what you get, he would shoot for 4 weeks and then shut down for like 3 or 4 weeks and then edit. He would start editing all the stuff he had and then go and shoot for 4 more weeks and go, all right, here's what I'm missing. I need this, 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 and this.
Right.
And that's how his movies would come together, which is very atypical.
Right.
And so... a lot of people, you go out and you shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot and get all kinds of covers that you're never going to use. And that's very typical. But bottom line is you're going to find out that you are going to be, like, by the end of the summer, you're going to be a much better video shooter and probably even a photo shooter a little bit too. There'll be some carryover because you do all this editing.
Okay. Glad to hear it.
All right. In my shoot, anything interesting, I shot a team photo of my son's soccer team, which is not interesting.
Except but all the players fact, were there. Were all the players there?
I don't care. I don't know who. I don't know who's on the team. I don't know. They're all like 7 and under. So I don't years old. So I don't know. I don't care. No, they weren't there. They weren't there. So either way, I it's the same. I understand your pain. But my point is, I shot that with the X100. The X100 should market itself as a team photo camera. It is okay. The greatest camera for team photos, simply because it is the leaf shutter.
Right.
Meaning you can go out there and they're like, oh man, the sun came out. And I'm like, don't worry, I can tame that sun. I can shoot this at an f/5.6 at a 1/1000th of a second at ISO 100. I can knock that sun down, and because it's only f/5.6, I can hammer a whole bunch of flash in there with no problemo.
Yeah,
like it's gonna look amazing, and it did. Like the pictures look fantastic. Like everyone's like, "Wow, like those are really great." I'm like, "Yeah, yeah." It's the physics under the hood of the X100 just make it absolutely fantastic. I got the one from my baseball team blown up to massive to a 16 by 24 inches.
Wow.
Not huge. They can go bigger. They can go even bigger than that. I didn't have time. I couldn't, whatever.
This is for on your wall in your bedroom or what?
I send it to you. You're getting it.
Okay.
No. We have this weekend right now, like literally after this, I'm going to go have probably a 20 minute nap, and then I'm going to go into town, and starting at 9 o'clock at night, I'm going to leave my house. I'm going to go and basically serve beer to a bunch of people at the city festival, like the city party.
Okay.
Called the Stadtfest. And so
you're going to wear your Hawks jersey?
I'm going to wear my Hawks thong.
Okay. All right.
No, I'm going to wear my Hawks t-shirt and some pants. I don't know if it got weird for a sec there. But anyway, so the whole old town shuts down. There's bands that play, a lot of oompa-pa. You get the idea. I think Nana will be there, maybe the Scorpions. I don't know. But and a whole bunch of teams, like different organizations, have like booths where we sell hot dogs and hamburgers or whatever we sell and beer and whatnot. And we have a batting cage set up in the old town and stuff like that. And so I said, let's put the team photo up. So we got it blown up big. It's adorning our booth. I had about half dozen of our magazine covers printed to kind of like the Spieltag ones that I always share with you guys. And those are adorning the booth. And so. Point being, at 16 by 24, which is not huge, it's big, it looks great. Like, it blows up so unbelievably that I want to see how big we can go in the future and get just go nuts with it. Because that X100, the compact frame, the sensor, outstanding. Love that camera. All right.
Okay, I'm gonna get one day. One day I will get one. The next camera I buy, I'm pretty sure will be that. I have no idea when that will be. I have to do a job that's worth the amount of money of the camera before I can. No, I will. I'll do a job.
No. It's not about what's worth though. That's the thing is. And so a friend of ours, a big hotshot lawyer friend of ours, had just got in touch with me this week and said, "Hey man, like we're meeting him this summer. He's coming over to Europe with his family, and he's like, I'm looking to get a new camera. He has a DSLR." A Nikon, but he's got a bunch of lenses. But he's like, you know what? I don't bring it out. It's too heavy. I want to get a new camera. I'm thinking mirrorless. What do you think? And I said, okay, well, my only real experience is the X100. I love this thing. It's expensive, but you're one of those rich guys. So if I was a non-photographer slash also rich guy, I would absolutely positively own this. It'd be the bare minimum that I have. Obviously, I want to like it, but, you know, Let's be reasonable here.
Right.
So he ended up buying one. He's like, oh boy, but there's all these other cameras for 500 euros or $500. And I said, well, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, Adam and I, and I don't see it. I don't see the point. Use your iPhone for $500.
Yeah, yeah.
You can afford excellence. Get excellence. Just do this. You'll be very happy. And if not, Adam will buy it from you for half price.
That's right. Yeah. I'm hoping I get one off him soon.
See, I'm in his ear showing him how to use it. You have to be in the other ear just talking it down, just going, oh, what a piece of garbage.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can't believe Al told you to buy that. Tell you what, I'll give you $800 cash for it right now. Right now, sight unseen, with the card. With the card and the lens hood. That's what you got to do.
Yeah. So, okay, so... How much does one of the, like, he got the newest version or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I'm guessing. Okay, so what is this sticker for?
I think with tax, I think it's around 1800 Canadian.
Okay, so I'm going to need to do a big job. This is a wedding type job that's going to pay for this.
Or maybe all the parents kick in a few dollars and for liking that video. Maybe.
Yeah, and it gets to $1,800. Yeah.
No, but here's the thing is it doesn't have to get to $1,800. It has to get to $500. And then you kick in the rest and you're like, all right, that offset it.
I see.
You offset it, man. It's one of those things, like I thought about it. It's like, you know, like there are gaps. There are gaps in its game. Like if you want to take, you know, pictures of it with the 85 mil, you can't do it. That's not, you don't take portraits with the X100.
Right.
Which is funny because one of our listeners, Marion Maid. He that's his Instagram name, not his real name. He bought one. He bought a used one off a guy who he said, yeah, the guy thought he would take portraits with it and realized he wasn't going to. And so he bought a used one for that very reason. And I said, yeah, I don't have it for portraits. I have it for just everyday use and I love it. My keeper rate is high. So,
okay. One day it'll happen.
One day. All right. Photo challenge.
Yeah.
Lens flare.
Got it.
Let's get into it. No, we did it already. Let's start with yours. I like yours better. I'll be honest with you.
Okay. Here's mine.
All right. Okay. So here's not Matt Damon.
Yeah. It looks, yeah, you're right. He does have a little bit of Matt Damon look to him.
Well, no, he has the not Matt Damon, Matt Damon.
Right.
So there's an actor. I sent you the link. There's an actor who looks like Matt Damon, but not quite Matt. At first I thought, is that Matt Damon's cousin? I saw him in something. I forget what it was. I'll give you the actor's name. The name is Jesse Plemons. He's been in a bunch of stuff. He actually played a younger version of Matt Damon in a Matt Damon movie.
Oh, that's what movie? Didn't know this.
I think it was All the Pretty Horses, which I never saw.
Okay, haven't seen it.
Yeah. I don't know if it was a Bourne crossover or not, but regardless, it was what's his name there? Angelina Jolie's husband. Okay. The first one. The second
Billy,
one. The
Billy
second
Bob
one.
Or?
Yeah, Billy Bob. He did it. Anyways, point being, here's the not Matt Damon, not Matt Damon, Matt Damon.
Okay. So this photo, to bring it back to the photo, was just taken after a game. So it's probably just around 8 o'clock, coach gathering the kids for a little post-game talk and just took a shot. Like I'm usually standing right around just behind third base. And yeah, saw a good opportunity, got low, wanted specifically the lens flare for the shot and snapped a couple, some where you can actually see the coach face a little bit more straight on. But for whatever reason, I just like this. I just like the angle. I like that it's kind of a snapshot moment, clearly not posed. And I just liked where the lens flare showed up in the photo, just to kind of like put a spotlight on the subject there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this works really well. I mean, we often regard, almost always you regard lens flare as either A, a mistake, or B, some sort of silly little gimmick that film students pull, which they think it looks cool, which it doesn't in movies. But there's every once in a while, it can actually add to it. It can add to the feeling. And this does that, I think.
I agree. Yeah, it does.
It's now, so you shot this with the 70 to 200, correct?
Yes.
You did at 70. I checked the EXIF data and I was wondering, just based on the shape and the characteristics of the lens flare, I assume this was your zoom lens.
Yeah.
Because lens flare behaves differently because of the number of elements in the glass and the way it all bounces around. And I'm not an expert to tell you, you know, I can't pick out each lens that has those characteristics, but this does scream zoom lens versus prime lens.
Okay.
So
you're better than me. I wouldn't have been able to tell which or why, but you have a lot of the same lenses. So you probably kind of know how the lens flare looks with your own 70 to 200, I'm guessing too.
Nah, I try to avoid lens flare normally. Like that's something that we try to not have, you know, exist. Like you want to shade off your lens or et cetera. Did you take the hood off?
Nope, hood is on.
Hood is on. You still got lens flare.
Well, I'm shooting right into the sun, and then I just cropped the sun part out of the photo, which is just above the shot. But yeah, I'm right into the sun because I'm like, I'm going to get lens flare. That's the objective with this shot.
Right. And the danger, of course, being that you wash it right out entirely.
Right.
And focus can be very, very difficult.
Yeah,
you're probably shooting at, I'm going to say f5.6. Oh, it's f4. There you go.
Yeah, and focus, I mean, on a couple of the photos, focus is just off too. So this one was sharp on the subject, which is the coach, but not every, I probably took 6 or 7 photos as he's giving the little post game. And I'm going to say probably half of them were just out of focus.
Right. Yeah, that happens. I mean, it's just very difficult for the camera to do that. Plus with lens flare, the images tend to go soft anyways. Like even if you are physically in focus, you get just a certain softening. I don't know, some circle of confusion, et cetera, some nonsense in there. Looking at the EXIF data, this is nothing to do with the photo really. It says you shot this at 2,500 ISO, 1/4,000th of a second.
Well, probably because right before this moment happened, I was taking shots of like the kids at bat with lens flare.
Oh,
so we went from this to that real quickly, and I just shot. Saw this moment, and I'm like, nope, this is good. It's better rather than a lens flare of a kid at the plate. I'm gonna get a lens flare of the coach. So that's why. Yeah,
way better. Actually, that makes total sense. This actually looks like a photograph. A lot of stuff that we see nowadays looks like really great digital imaging and looks awesome. But this kind of has some soul to it, and like, you know, like a 1970s kind of thing. And no, I like it.
Okay.
All right. Let's have a look at mine. Why don't you start, and then I'll defend it.
I like it. Just the confused look on your daughter's face.
Oh, we have to have acting lessons, her and I.
Yeah, so...
Oh, no. This was the issue. This was... Okay, good. That's where I'm starting then. I'm going to start... first of all, there was... Like I told you, when I set this challenge, I thought, oh, man, this is going to be a cakewalk. It's going to be sunny days. And then it wasn't. It was cloudy and cold and lousy the entire week, culminating with hailstorm last night. So this is a couple of hours ago. I said to my daughter, man, hey, I need a photo. Let's get outside. I'm going to have to light this. Like there's no sun here.
Okay.
So this is two lights. This is one in the front with a CTO on it in an umbrella and one behind lighting her hair and providing the lens flare, which is not as a dramatic a lens flare as you have in yours. You can see it in certain areas, but it's not quite the shape that you have. And I brought her out there and I said, okay, here we go. The lens flare I can handle. I can do all that. I don't need one of you looking right at the camera.
Right.
Let's do sort of something cinematic.
Okay.
Let's pretend this is a still from a movie, and you're out in a cornfield. I'm assuming that's corn. I'm not a botanist. And I said, okay, now look up in the sky and pretend there's a UFO. Like something up there, you don't know what it is.
Right.
And this is what she did. And I was like, okay, what are you trying to not pee? Like what? What are we doing here? We you're 8. You should be a better actress by now.
Yeah, definitely.
So that's what's going on here. So we're gonna have to do some improv stuff around the house.
Sure. Or not. Yeah. I like that the lighting. I think it's pretty good. Just the way the color tone changes as well. Like just makes me think like you lit it. Like I was pretty.
Yeah.
Confident you lit it. I mean, I guess this could exist. You could just have sun peeking through, but then I feel like the color temperature on the, is it corn or whatever those rows of whatever that is, should also have a slightly different temperature. So the lights didn't, it just seems like it seems off. It seems something seems amiss.
Oh, and yours is so great?
Yeah. Yeah, mine.
Yeah. That's my favorite argument. Yeah, well, I don't like your shoes. Whoa, what?
But it all does make sense now.
It is not good. I'm not putting, there's some things here I like it does kind of look like a cinema thing, maybe. Maybe if I dull it down a little bit. This is the X100, which the thing that I like about this is, again, you can really just tame. Like, this is middle of the day. This is just, like, right at the crack of noon. There's just nothing dramatic about that sky as it is. I basically had to stop, kill the ambient exposure to make that sky pop. That the corn and all that, that's all underexposed by probably a stop, which is easy to do with the X100. You can knock that because of the leaf shutter. You can knock that right down and still have the flash sync up, which is really cool. So there are some things from this that I'll take forward with me, but overall, my daughter has to go to an improv class. Yeah. Sense memory, I don't know. Isn't Stella Adler? She must be German. Adler means German in eagle in German. So I don't know.
Okay.
I feel like she should be better at acting by now.
Yeah, let's blame it on her.
I think we'll blame this all on her. So there you go. All right. Photo challenge for next week. There's no topic. The topic this week was earlier in the show when we talked about Adam's editing, by the way.
Sure. Okay. And the commercial for the X100 that you just aired.
Yeah, evidently. I think the commercial for Adam crowdsourcing people buying him one.
Yeah, that's right.
That's one thing to think about. No, as we probably mentioned last week, we're going to try to tighten things up, which we did not do this week, obviously, with the summer coming up. We're going to do some shorter episodes starting next week, I think. And let's not just have specific topics, but so this is summer version one, or video editing. Maybe it's just video editing.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. All right, challenge for next week is Snapshot.
Okay. Hopefully I can do that.
I can do better. Yeah,
I do snapshots.
I'm going to shoot Ned Braden.
Okay. Okay.
That's Slapshot. I'll be honest with you. I did that as a typo. That's a typo.
I understood what you were saying.
All right, Hannah.
Nobody else did, though, unless they're Canadian.
Yeah, I bet you Marion got that one.
He's Canadian, though, isn't he?
Hey, yeah. Yeah, I bet you Don Komareczka did not get it.
No, that's true.
Don't think he's a hockey guy.
Not really Canadian.
All right, Hanrahan. So that's it. Next week is Snapshot. Monthly challenge for July is golden. Hashtag that Hey Hosers or hashtag Two Hosers Monthly Challenge. And potentially, hopefully tag us. That'll make life better. Tag the at Two Hosers on there and we'll check that out for next month's monthly challenge. Websites. Adam, where can people go to find your stuff?
AdamSchwartz.ca.
You can find my stuff at alanatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can go to find all the links, photos, everything we just talked about. And that's it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.